Don't believe the lies of the enemy. God uses that to encourage and challenge others. Okay? So I'm going to share with you the shortest message of all of my preaching as we wrap up things this evening, because I believe that this truth is of absolute necessity for each and every one of us, and it deals with the issue of grace. You see, what every one of us needs as we move on from here is God's grace. And if I were to ask you what grace is, some of you would give me the nice little acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. Some of you would say it is unmerited favor. Both of those are right. But when we think about grace, I want you to recognize, guys, I think they might have a little trouble reading that. So I know I do. I love working with the team, which, by the way, a number of the people that don't get recognized on our team are the people who are behind the scene. So when you think about those, Ella, Eric, Brian, let them know, and those children's ministers, all right? But when you think about grace, recognize this. It's God's provision for sustaining his children. And I believe that God wants us to thrive in our relationship with him and with others. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 107, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Then he delivered them out of their distresses. Why? For he satisfies the hungry and the thirsty soul. So when we think about grace, recognize that grace is the good pleasure of God, okay, that inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. That's a crazy thought. That was by A.W. Tozer, a man of God who pastored in Chicago, Illinois, when he spoke on grace. What is grace? Well, another person would put it this way: the unmerited operation of God in the heart of man. And it's affected through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And then one of our contemporaries, John MacArthur, said this: grace is not a one-time event in a Christian experience. The entire Christian life is driven and empowered by grace. And so when we think about where we go from here in the days to come, weeks, months, and years, when I think about my own life, I've come to this conclusion. I am constantly in need of God's grace. For me to proclaim this message tonight, I need God's grace. For me to go home tonight, I need God's grace. One of the reasons why? My wife's gone. My wife's been gone for 2 days. She's left me. Now, in a good way, I just got a text earlier from my daughter who's pregnant, and she said, "Thank you for sending Mom here." She said something like this, such a sweet little kid. I love her. She said, "Dad, thank you so much for sending Mom and Krista. Mom has been such a help, cooking all the time and preparing meals for the future." She's pregnant, so having Mom there has been a help. So I go home. I've got an empty bed. I've got a 15-year-old son. I've got two dogs, and I'm supposed to be Mom and Dad to these dogs and my son. Really? I'm a preacher. What do I need? I need God's grace to enable me to do what God has called me to do. And so when we think of grace, I want to give you a simple definition. It's the same definition I gave you the last time I was here. Grace is the dynamic quality of God within me, giving me desire and giving me power to live in obedience with God and his word. You see, obedience is doing what God says, when God says, with the right heart attitude. And in order for us to be obedient, what we have to do is we need to cry out for God's grace. Now, let me couch that in Scripture, because Philippians 2:13 says this: for God is working in you, okay, so that is the first line, the dynamic quality of God within me, giving you the desire and the power, okay, that's the second line, to do what? To do what pleases him. That's the third line. What pleases God? Obedience. Bottom line. And obedience to God and His Word. We need grace for that. So there are three things that we generally say grace is needed for. Salvation. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not that of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You see, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We need grace for strength. Some of you are facing situations in your life, and apart from God giving you the grace that you need, you're not going to succeed in what it is that you are facing. You may fail. You may sin. And so the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the strength or in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When temptation comes my way, I need God's grace. When an issue of resolving something, maybe like forgiveness, I need God's grace. Grace is needed for sanctification. And we were kind of talking about that in our leadership meeting tonight when we think about sanctification. That is that process where we are continuously being conformed into the image of God. One of your precious older deacons had shared what God had done in his life in these days. And I thought to myself, as he is in his 80s sharing, how God is continuing to sanctify him, conforming him to his image. And my comment to him was this: I pray that I'm like that, not when I'm 80, but like when I'm that age right now, so that I can be that 80-year-old living in that same posture. So how do I live then and operate in the grace of God? That's the bottom line. How do I live and operate in the grace of God? Well, here's the key. If you have your Bibles, turn, and with this last verse, I'm going to bring us to a point of decision on how we should live our lives. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, the scripture says this: for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So if you look at this passage of Scripture, and for any of you men and women to be giants in the kingdom of God, those who are Christ-like followers, it's going to take two things. It's going to take you humbling yourself, and secondly, asking the Lord to give you the desire and the power to live in obedience to Him and His Word. We don't need to overcomplicate things. What is God calling you to do that you've not yet done? You know that you can do whatever He's called you to do? He calls you to love the unlovable. Guess what? You can love the unlovable. He's called you to go serve on the mission field. Guess what? You can serve on the mission field. He's told you to give this away or that away or to use that time or talent for His glory. Guess what? You can do that even when conventional wisdom says you can't or you're thinking there's no way possible. Because if you say you can't, then you're saying your God can't. And there is nothing that God cannot do. He can do all things. You know why we don't see God moving in and through the church of Christ today? Because too many people in the kingdom are trying to do it in their own strength, apart from humbling themselves and asking God to give them the strength and the desire to obey. So that's the bottom line. You see, that's the greatest truth, and that's the shortest message that I've preached the entire week. But that is the message that gives life. So here's the question on what we might think is our last night? Will you humbly acknowledge your need for God's grace? That's your walk away. Pride's going to keep you from doing it. Oh, you'll do it in a desperate situation. But why wait till desperation? Ephesians says, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, that power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? I'm going to ask the band if they would come up. You see, dear folks, we didn't bring revival with us, aren't you glad? And we're not going to take revival with us, aren't you glad? Because no man can bring or take revival. Revival is a sovereign work of a holy God. And I believe that the best of this revival is, quite honestly, yet to come. I believe that we're just at the threshold for greater things yet to come. Do you believe that? Amen. Now the question's this. What are you not doing at this season in your life right now that God is wanting you to do?